This has been a very challenging week. This is, although in the midst of celebration and great joy, that you know that I love Baptismal Sunday, I hope you can tell that. Each child I see or young person I seem to baptize, I want to take home. Have a deep love. And yet on this Mother's Day, Christian Family Sunday, like you, I can't help but think of my mother. And to think of my mother is not only to think of her in her present state, ravaged by Alzheimer's, not able to recognize me, sitting for the most part or lying motionless, blank stare, little response. And I saw her on Thursday and washed her face with my kisses and hugs and caresses. Little response. But it is not only to think of her now, to think of the great sacrifices that she undertook to raise us. The challenges and the joys that were interwoven in her life. And so we can't, I don't believe, ever ponder our life without thinking about the mother from whom we've come. I, like you, am troubled by news in our papers and on our screens much too often about this prized person, mother, and the testimony, egregious testimony that we hear from time to time of this mother who kills their own children, who abandons their own child. So we hold these things, we try to hold these things together because this is the life we have. This is the life that we are meant to make sense of. This week, for four consecutive days, I've had to ponder also the significance of someone's life in the midst of death. On Wednesday, we said goodbye to Gary Fee, had his funeral. The following day was a committal service for some people who couldn't make it to the funeral. On Friday was Elgin Morrison, a longtime member here, his committal service and a special celebration of his life. His funeral was in February, but Spring Hill Cemetery only opens in the spring. And talking with the family. And then yesterday, many of you were here for Kay Reed's memorial service. It's been a week that has been heavy and pregnant with death and with the ponderables of life in the midst of death. Now that may seem like a real downer for you on this Sunday, but it's not meant to if we take seriously our scripture lessons and why we are here in the first place. People keep asking me, oh, I can't wait to hear of your stories from Turkey. Our group that went there and returned just a few days ago, and the great, wonderful experiences that we had there. But I can't help but think and ponder, and sometimes I'm awake at night, largely at the beginning is because of jet lag and the difference in time, but thinking about what most moved me, and there was much that was significant and noteworthy, what moved me were the historical remembrances and the connections with the Bible of our ancestors in the faith. The communities where we went, where churches were established by the very activity that Philip, that we read of today, was undertaking. Sharing the good news with others. Gathering them together in the hope and the life and the meaning that derives from Jesus the Christ and especially from his risen state. That inspired me because they gave their lives, they sacrificed themselves, they transformed the communities in which they found themselves with love and service and caring and compassion and hospitality. And every day I ponder this and I say, how am I living faithfully into this legacy? This long line of faithful men and women, boys and girls, whom we have been privileged to have been bequeathed a testimony and witness. How are we stewarding that today? Because it has come down from generation to generation. For many of us, through our mothers and those who have mothered us. And so I just want to talk with you briefly, because I have struggled this week with how I would share what I'm really feeling inside, what I have struggled with in these texts. And I still don't know how I'm to do that. But here's what I've come up with. Philip is told by God's Spirit to travel down to Gaza. And on the way, he meets someone who is probably a God-fearer or a Hellenist, who has come up to Jerusalem to worship and is trying to understand what he's reading in the scripture. And Philip seizes appropriately the opportunity to tell the story. And he must have told it in such a way, connecting what he was reading with Jesus, that this man asks the question, is there anything preventing me from being baptized? Why should I not be baptized? And I share that with you because of the baptism we had today, but the occasion for the baptism actually of Sage and Avery. A month and a half ago, it was Avery that posed a variation of that question to me. I felt like Philip. Sitting in the Second Blessing coffee shop one day when it was open, we sat at the stool at the counter, and Avery came up beside me and Sage right beside and says, Anthony, I said, yes, Avery, I have something to ask you. What's that? Puts her finger over her mouth, looks up in the air and says, would you baptize me? What do you say to that? That's the same position in which Philip found himself. Why shouldn't I be baptized? He had helped that eunuch. I wish we knew his name. What a way to refer to somebody, an Ethiopian eunuch. I'd like people to know my name. I wish we knew his name, but we don't. But he had helped him understand the connection between this God who suffers with the people, who comes and shares life in all of its vicissitudes, the ups and the downs. This God has come in Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection has been a demonstrative communication of God's willingness to take all of our life into himself, the good and the bad. That is why it is not a downer. That is why, as we ponder the brutality that is bequeathed upon children by some mothers, we can, beside that, remember with delight the great witness of sacrifice and hospitality and love and caring and all those things that most mothers are undertaking. And we do not say that one is false and one is true. What we say is that is the life we have. And this God, who does not invite us to be in denial, says, I will bear it all with you. So if you have been victim of an experience of childhood whereby your mother has not been all that perhaps she could have been for whatever reasons, God's grace be upon her, then your story and your reality is welcomed into the life of Christ as well on this day. If you have been privileged with the great testimony both of faith and love and care and generosity of a mother who understood and was there when no one else was there for you, then that too is welcomed here today. Because our readings are meant to open up the full breadth of Christian experience and make it available to faith. You see, Jesus is saying, abide in me. Simply abide. Simply stay with me. Stay with my words. Stay with the reality I've come to disclose. Because in so doing, you will find no precinct of your life, nothing at all that you have experienced that is out of bounds from my embrace. Nothing. The psalm reading from Psalm 22. The first line of which was on the mouth of Jesus as he suffered on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And this psalm has been repeated by the faithful down through the ages. It is not only about forsakenness, for as you read the mood and the theme of the psalm, it progresses. And it recognizes the hardship the psalmist has been in. There is no one here to advocate for me. No one but you, O God. And it comes to the point of expressing praise and celebration that includes everyone. The poor will be satisfied. The rich will also will get it and be able to recognize their dependence on God. Sadness, justice, hunger, hope, all of it coheres on this day in this one in whose name we have baptized these four people today. So, what does it mean to abide? What does it mean to abide? It means that we hear the stories of others with the kind of generous heart. Do you remember the turmoil that came about when Mother Teresa's memoirs were published, The Private Conversations of Mother Teresa? To mark the 10th anniversary of her death in 2007. And people discovered that she, for 50 years, struggled with what I believe is clinical depression. She struggled with the darkness of abandonment. And she said the thing that most plagued her was the absence of the presence of God. And people said, oh, she must have been a fake. Getting up there, smiling, caring for the poor, talking about the love of God and so forth. How could she do that? If we read our Psalm 22, if we read our John 15, we abide in Jesus no matter what. Then we recognize that there was no dissonance here. For she of herself said that because she felt this way, this darkness that consumed her, it did not vitiate, it did not cancel her call to care for the poor. And her challenge of the Christian community and the world community to care for the poor. There was no incompatibility. Because we know that our language and our experiences and our emotions and our pain has been given voice in the words of Scripture. And Jesus says, abide in me, for the branches without the vine are nothing. I am the true vine. Sometimes these metaphors get lost on us because we don't live in an agricultural scenario. In her book, Nature, God, and the Pulpit, Elizabeth Achtermeyer talks about how disconnected we are from the images that Jesus uses. When we were in Turkey, we saw vineyards. We saw the way in which people lived in harmony with agriculture and with the earth and that verdant place of production. But when Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches, that unless you derive your connection, your life from me, you can do nothing. The people understood that. You cut a branch off from the vine, it will wither and die. We tend to pick and choose our connections, our affiliations. We have come accustomed in our society to be tenuous and casual about our associations. We love our freedom. We like to come and go. We don't want to be tied down. How incongruous that is to our life of faith. Be rooted in me. You don't ever get weaned off Jesus. We always need that life, that hope, that truth, that sacrifice, that calling, in order to make sense of our life and our purpose for the world. Simply abiding. Stay with Jesus. Let the words and the presence of Christ stay with you. That's what the baptism is saying. We baptize these young people into the name and life and death and resurrection of Jesus. It means staying for the duration, because without him, I am coming to believe more and more that we can do nothing. And it is because of what him represents. Simply abide. simply abide. There's a poem by Teresa of Avila that talks about the dependence that God has upon us as we stay connected to Christ. In the 16th century, she wrote this: Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do the good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, yours are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Baptized into the body of faith of which this congregation is a part, we are meant to abide in Christ. What that means is we derive our meaning, our purpose, our hope, our salvation, our perspective, our power to be engaged in justice, to be sustained in those crucibles of life that all of us encounter at one time or another. So may it be for you and for me on this day that your remembrances of your mother would kindle also a deep remembrance of Christ. That whatever you have experienced is welcomed in the bosom of God. It is not that it is all good, but rather it is your reality and mine, and therefore it matters to God. It matters so much that God will take it and, as Jesus says, will kartheia in Greek, will cleanse, will forgive, will restore, will heal, will transform. And the celebrations that you and I have of our mothers, and I have many, as many of you do, I'm sure, is also the great rejoicing and delight of God. It all fits if we would only simply abide. May you be blessed. May you be healthily given what you need this day to celebrate, to grieve, to laugh, to cry, just to be. Abide in Christ. Amen.